Brian Had a Dream, 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hey, once again, I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome to the quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. Thank you so much for joining us, for listening, for downloading this episode, and for sharing it with a friend. In this episode, we go back to the well of our summer movie previews. So many movies coming out, so little time. How many of them will end up making it on Brian's list and on his quest to 10,000? Our top five this week will be top five actors or actresses you would want to start a summer movie franchise with, since so many of this summer's releases are spinoffs or starts of new franchises. We thought that would be a relevant topic to explore. But before we get to the big topic of our summer preview and our top five, you can be a part of the conversation on Twitter at 10K, T-E-N-K, movies, or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. Now, with all that out of the way, Brian, tell us, what number film are you on the quest for 10,000?
7,942.
Oh my gosh, almost 8,000.
Yeah, almost.
That'll happen. Remarkable pace.
It'll happen in June. It'll happen in June of 2017. I'll hit 8,000.
That is fantastic. That 10,000 is right in sight.
It does feel, when you get under 2,000, you do start to feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, tell us what the last three movies you saw were.
Okay. Well, yesterday I had the pleasurable misfortune of watching a sequel to a movie I liked, and so I had it on my list of movies I thought I might want to watch, Bad Santa 2, and it was Bad Santa Too Bad. It was horrible. Oh, it's horrible. one of the most maddeningly frustrating actors is Billy Bob Thornton. Okay, he's in something that's just brilliant, and then you say, okay, good, he's back, he's good, and then you watch something, and it's horrible. Every movie he's in, he's either fantastic or it's just horrendously bad. There's no in-between with Billy Bob, I don't think. Apparently, the pitch for this movie was the same idea of Bad Santa, except we're going to have Kathy Bates saying wildly inappropriate things, and somebody said, sold. One thing, in 13 years, 14 years, the climate for what you can say and be funny has just changed, and this movie wants to use late 90s, early 2000s sensibilities and it just doesn't work. It's very mean-spirited. It's very, it left you feeling dirty. Another movie I saw, because they've been on TCM a lot lately, and I really haven't watched a lot of them, so I've been watching a lot of, monster movies. So I watched Rodan. Whatever. It was a big larva that attacks people underground. And then the end of the movie was weird because it sort of wanted to say that we're the real bad guys because they were just trying to protect their family. Okay, whatever.
Sometimes you just got to check that little box on iCheckMovies.com.
As a genre, I want to be familiar with it, but it's not something I'm really going to search out for any other reason. And the last movie I want to mention is a movie from the 50s that was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actress, I'll Cry Tomorrow. Susan Hayward was nominated. That's the reason I watched it, is because she was nominated. But it's about a vaudeville early actress who fell into alcoholism, and it's kind of like a biopic of her. And she became pretty well known in the 50s based on her autobiography of being open and honest about her struggles with alcoholism. And it was an okay movie, but for the time frame, I'm sure it was really, this is mid-50s for somebody to be so forthcoming about the problems she'd have with addiction. Pretty impressive.
Let's talk about now our big topic, summer movie preview. It's Memorial Day weekend as we record this, and the summer movie season, most people probably say started Guardians of the Galaxy a couple of weeks ago. our last episode, we previewed and reviewed that film. And there's been some others coming out this weekend. Baywatch, Pirates of the Caribbean, Alien Covenant came out, I think, a week or so ago.
You know, I want to be excited about Alien Covenant. I want to be, but I'm not.
King Arthur came out also. All movies that were sort of early summer, but most websites you would go to would say these are summer releases. So we already have a handful of movies out. And what would you say so far the verdict has been on the summer?
Well, it has been a mild summer. Things have not heated up yet.
You're a lot kinder. It's been a lot of crap.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad. I wanted to like Alien Covenant. I really did. I love Alien, love Aliens. I thought Prometheus was okay, but it was you were excited because Ridley Scott was back involved, and I like Michael Fassbender, so you thought, okay. So then this movie, you think, okay, let's see more of what he's doing. And but I've got no real desire to see it. I mean, I will see it, but it doesn't excite me.
Is Covenant more of a spinoff or?
See, I don't know.
A sequel.
I don't know. It's kind of bridging the gap.
That's the other thing. I mentioned this close to the top of the episode. Looking at the releases, you see a lot of sequels dominating what's coming out. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Pirates of the Caribbean, Despicable Me 3, Cars 3, another Planet of the Apes movie coming out.
Oh, so, yeah.
A lot of sequels like you usually get in summer movie blockbuster season. But it also strikes me that for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like the sequels coming out are meant to be the big movies of the summer. I don't know. Maybe it is because everything feels a little more mild, less buzzworthy. I don't know. What do you think about that? Does it feel like sequels are dominating, are going to dominate the summer is it something else?
Well, franchise movies. I mean, depending on you call Wonder Woman. I mean, you know, where do you slot it? I mean, it's not really a sequel, but it's a continuation of a story that started in another movie. So in some ways, it is a sequel, but it's not really a sequel.
I think Wonder Woman and Spider-Man definitely kind of expanding a franchise already.
Mm-hmm.
Other movies that may be trying to start a franchise coming out this summer, The Mummy.
Like The Mummy. The Mummy, I like the idea, and I do like the idea of mining those old universal horror, you know, tropes. I think that's important and that's good, and I like the idea of them being connected in a shared world. But I have a feeling it's not going to work.
So. Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, which visually looks stunning. I don't like the main actor in it. He just gives the willies. I don't know his name. He was in Spider-Man 2, the one with Andrew Garfield.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. He was Harry Osborn. Yeah. Another couple maybe that are more franchise starters, The Dark Tower, which to me it still seems really interesting. And I think too, even though it was not reviewed very well, I think King Arthur, also another movie probably supposed to be a franchise starter.
Yeah, you know, Guy Ritchie, here's the thing, I think what we're beginning to see is for most professions, especially creative professions or whatever, professions that require strenuous work on your part, you know, athletes peak at 34 to 40, okay, and then they're done. And I think creatively, a lot of creative people, it's the same type thing. Like they have a peak period, and you'll have exceptions that could last outside of that, but, you know, you can't go to the well. You have to either reinvent yourself or else – you know, you're going to get stagnant. And that's what's happened with Guy Ritchie and Ridley Scott, too, more or less.
What movies for the summer are you really kind of looking forward to? And then a follow-up question to that, what movies you think you're going to remember from the summer? What movies are going to kind of own the summer in our memory?
I think Wonder Woman is going to be pretty epic. I think it's going to be the first. It feels like it's going to be the first really big, like, bona fide hit out of the DC universe that everybody can kind of get behind. I think a small time film that's going to make some waves, maybe not big numbers, but it's going to have an impact. I think Captain Underpants movie is going to be a lot bigger than people think it's going
to
be.
Yeah, it seems to be the first real kids release of the summer.
And I think it's hitting that kind of like sweet spot where it's goofy, but parents can laugh, and it's kind of and it's not hyped. So I think it has a chance to kind of sneak up on people. I mean, I know this past couple of weeks the commercials have been nonstop, but before then, I mean, it wasn't even on my radar, really. And all of a sudden, so I think it has a chance. Let's see. I'm not optimistic, but I am curious with the marketing about Cars 3, about how dark it's really going to get, because it feels like they're really going to places. Cars 2 was horrible, okay? It was horrible. Cars 1 wasn't great, but Cars 2 was horrible. And so it has to go up from there. I'm really surprised they're even doing another Transformers movie. Like, doesn't this feel...
Until they stop making money, they're going to keep doing them. And they make a lot of money.
Yeah, they also cost a lot of money. I don't know. I'm excited about Despicable Me 3. I think that's going to be fun. I don't know how good it'll be, but it'll be fun. Again, the War for the Planet of the Apes movie snuck up on me. Don't even really have a feeling about it. Let's see what else. The Emoji Movie will probably be a big stinking pile of doo-doo. But it could be like Lego Movie, that you think it's going to be horrible and it just comes out. And, you know, it could be. I don't think it will be, but you can't, you know, it's the kind of property that Lego Movie turns something that nobody thought would work into something we all really liked. And so it's possible. Dark Tower Movie, of course, is going to be polarizing, I think. And the question for the Dark Tower movie is, can it attract people outside of those who have read the books?
Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba is a good answer or counter to that question.
But will they be confused? You know what I'm saying? Like, will it require the books to really understand? Because obviously, you and I both anticipate that knowing how the books go is going to add a layer of enjoyment if you're watching this movie. Will somebody be able to watch it, have no knowledge of the book, and understand what's happening?
I get your point, but then you could also point to something like Harry Potter, like The Lord of the Rings. It can be done. You're right. It can be a challenge, and maybe those movies had some built-in factors that aided them.
Well, but this movie, rather than being an adaptation, I mean, this movie seems to be more like almost like a sequel to the books, rather as opposed to an adaptation of the book. Like, this is the next chapter of this story. And, maybe
sure,
they'll do it.
Sure, but I think that's as much a fan service of the book.
Sure.
And I think if they don't get too self-aware of that, if they don't allude explicitly to that, if they kind of wink at the audience that knows that, I think it can, like I said, I think it'd be done. You're right. It'd probably be difficult. One movie you haven't mentioned yet that I'm excited for, and I think really probably the summer one way or another will be remembered, I think, for it, and it's Spider-Man Homecoming.
It's going to be big. But, you know, at the same time, though, I am surprised, considering how long fans of the Marvel movies have wanted Spider-Man to be a part of this world. I am surprised by how little right now it excites me. I mean, we've got a month and a half to go, but I'm just surprised that I'm not just really, really, really happy to see
it's
this movie.
It's the title, man. I've been telling you. It's the title.
Spider-Man Homecoming, not a great title.
No, it doesn't. I'm interested in this one primarily because it's such a experiment risk in some ways. The agreement that Sony and Marvel have made. And so I'm excited because the success of the movie will determine what Marvel might now do with other properties.
Like X-Men.
X-Men. Really X-Men. I think they're going to leave Fantastic Four alone for a good long while now. But so I think that one has the most potential to ripple into other properties and entertainment.
Yeah,
and
I'll give you that.
In the summer movie season. So I think, for good or for bad, I think that's it belongs to Spider-Man. Now, at the same time, I think by the time we're done with 2017, a couple of movies that are coming out this summer that may dominate, you know, I wonder if they could dominate the conversation. The ones I think that have the most potential to dominate the conversation, the Tupac biopic and Dunkirk. Two very different films. But
Dunkirk
those are probably the most likely to be remembered when it comes time for all the awards and
Dunkirk certainly has the pedigree. So yeah, Dunkirk could be. And what's interesting about the Tupac, you know, you got the, I think you're talking about All Eyes on Me, the one about
right.
his life. There's also one apparently coming out later this year about his death and the Notorious B.I.G.'s death, and it has Johnny Depp in it. And it's about the investigation, which is weird. Why do we need both these movies kind of competing for the same space at the same time? But, we're at about the right time where we need to have a critical, cultural understanding of what Tupac was. Because it's been 20 years. So we have that kind of space where we can look back and sort of understand what it meant.
And I know next to nothing other than the very basics about
Tupac. Yeah, I know. What I'm
excited and fascinated about is, you know, listening to people who do know already about that and have a sense of that, what their reactions are going to be. I just think it's the type of movie that could continue to be talked about throughout the year.
Sure.
But strangely enough, I think because of that, and because I think Dunkirk also has that kind of, maybe even more so an awards kind of movie pedigree, kind of Oscar bait thing. But because of that, I think people talk about them beyond just the summer season.
Yeah,
that's why I say Spider-Man Homecoming. And maybe to a lesser extent to Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman can be remembered as what kind of saves DC.
Yes.
And buys them enough goodwill so that Justice League is not dead on arrival.
Well, the one thing I will say about Wonder Woman is it has the potential to carve out a space for DC that Marvel doesn't have yet. Marvel doesn't, for all the talk, and it seems to have been, you know, every summer for the past couple of years, there's been this ongoing talk about why is there no female, you know, why is it all so male-dominated? Why is it all male-dominated? And part of that is because look at the source material. It's been male-dominated for a long time. So, you know, you ain't going to get there overnight, people. But, you know, still, it feels like DC could kind of lay claim to that and kind of beat Marvel at their own game in a way if this is as good as it looks. And everything seems to say this is going to be an excellent film.
One last thing before we move on to our top five. In the past, we have for this preview kind of gone through and said what we think will be huge successes and huge flops.
Mm-hmm.
And I think honestly, as I look through this list, I think most of the obvious flops have come here at the beginning in May, movies we've already noted and said. I'll name a couple others that I think are just going to just not do much at all.
Okay.
On here. Now, Transformers Last Night will be a crap movie if it'll make a ton of money. The same maybe could be said for The Mummy. I think it comes, if you look what it's up against and what's coming out maybe right before, right after, I think The Mummy, it has the potential to be a flop, but I'm willing to bank that it's going to.
Here's a movie. I'm going to go out on a limb. We can check this next year if you want to. I don't think War for the Planet of the Apes is going to make money. I mean, I think it's going to be, at the end of the day, considered a flop.
I think yeah, because you look just at the release schedule. It comes out a week after Spider-Man Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out
a week before Dunkirk.
Weekend before Dunkirk. So it just it might be as much a schedule thing.
And I also
think that Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets,
uh-huh.
I think that one is going to fail even harder than War of the Planet.
I love Clive Owen, and I see who's in it now. Rihanna's in it, which is intriguing to me, and Herbie Hancock. This is really, this cast is intriguing to me. I'm going to go out on a limb, too, and I'm going to say Dunkirk, people are going to love it. It's going to be 90% reviewed on you know, Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes and all this. I don't know how many people are going to go see it. I don't know that it's going to be the type of movie you want to go spend, but it's going to be long. I mean, Christopher Nolan films are. It's going to be 2.5 hours. Or closer to 3. I don't know how many people are going to want to go and sit through this emotionally draining experience of, you know what I'm saying? May clean up at award season, but I don't know how much money it's going to make.
That's fair. That's fair. One other movie I'll mention, just because I want it to do well, because it looks like it's actually one of the better films that he has chosen to be a part of in a while, and also maybe the first decent film not directed by his usual co-collaborator, Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler in The House. It looks hilarious to me. The trailer was fantastic. It comes out the same weekend as Despicable Me 3, so probably won't win the box office.
Well, it's counter-programming.
I just hope that it does well enough. It looks pretty funny, and I hope it does.
Both of them, Amy and Will, they need Amy, because everybody loves Amy Poehler, but Inside Out is clearly her most biggest, hugest success, okay? But after that, though, her next biggest film, I don't know. I mean, you kind of have to go down the – she just doesn't have you know what I'm saying? She doesn't have that breakout film that everybody points to. Like, that's the one that's her. So I'd like for it to be successful.
Listeners, tell us what you think of this year's summer releases, whether you are overwhelmed by all the films you want to see or a bit underwhelmed. Do you like that there's just as many sequels? Do you feel like there's more variety to pick and choose from this year than in years past? Do that on Twitter or on Brian's blog. So we move on now to our top five actors, actresses who you would start some sort of summer movie franchise with. Now, the caveat we're going to add to this, Brian, is that only one of your picks can be an actor, actress who has already been the central character in a
franchise
movie franchise.
I'm gonna make it even a step further. I'm gonna throw out a couple names I think would have been on the list, but I'm not even gonna pick one of them as being on my list. Two players that I think would have been a surefire hit. If you just had all the money in the world and you were gonna build a franchise, you'd want to lock Chris Pratt into a 7-picture deal. Okay? And after that, you want to say to The Rock, you'd want to say, sign your name on the bottom line, okay, because we need you. And as far as women goes, I'm not so sure now, but I know a year ago, you would have said, Jennifer Lawrence, where can I get your signature? Okay? And those are pretty dependable properties that you know is going to happen. But I'm going to go completely up-and-comers and make this brand spanking new and get my crystal ball and tell you what's going to happen in the future. Number five, I'm going to start with number five. I'm going to go with, this is going to be my most out on the limb kind of thing, because I've only seen him in one movie, but I think he's kind of got the charisma and he's got things going for him. And it's the guy who was the star of Get Out, Daniel Kaluuya. I think I'm saying his name right. I think he could be a breakout star. I think he might, because he has kind of a charisma to him. I think he could carry a franchise. Number four, I'm going to go with an older actor who I just love. And I think he's in that stage of his career. And I'm going to say 4A and 4B, because I think both these guys are in that same stage of their career to where, with the right material, they could pull a Robert Downey Jr., because he was almost 50 when he took over Iron Man. And I'm going to go with Clive Owen and Liv Schreiber.
Okay, I agree with more on Clive than Liv. Tell me a little bit more about why you picked those two.
Well, I think they both have that sort of like somewhat menacing but not quite kind of thing going for them, where you want to root for them, but they're not necessarily, and they're leading men, but they've never been in a franchise that I know of. So I think either one of them would work.
Well, it strikes me too, he won't get the role, but Clive Owen feels like at one point he could have been James Bond. So
certainly,
that's why I gravitate.
Certainly, he has that sort of like, yeah, he does have that sort of.
Schreiber are liked, but that is an unorthodox choice. I like that for me.
Okay, now I'm gonna go with some women now. I think she is destined to headline a franchise at some point, and that is going to be Emma Stone. I think Emma Stone, that seems like the next career arc for her is to be some sort of a superhero. She may not be interested in that sort of thing, but it just feels like And another one, I might put this one on the list, but another one that strikes me as a similar career path, but I think she is going to be in a franchise, is Brie Larson, because I think she's Miss Marvel. So, but I think that somebody else has already said, hey, she needs to be. So I think she also falls into that category.
Number two,
I'm going to go out on a limb again. And it depends on what, you know, he's not a young guy, but it's a guy who I think with the right material, he could carry a franchise. That's Bryan Cranston.
Yes, that is true.
I mean, you get him in the right role, and I think he could just.
I mean, even with the wrong material, he could possibly carry a franchise.
Yeah, I think so. I think he could, because and his name has enough cachet now. I mean, it's really sort of, you know, it's going to be good, or you think it's going to be good, even if it's not. His name's attached to it. It sort of elevates but now for number one, the guy I think is just, I think he's this close to being superstardom. And he's sort of in a franchise now, but he doesn't quite qualify under our rules because he's a peripheral character. The movie's not about him, but I think Donald Glover is destined to be a superstar.
Do you hear that, Marvel? If this Spider-Man doesn't work out, you gotta snap up Donnie.
He has a self-awareness. He seems to get like meta humor in a way I don't think a lot of people do. He's got credibility in rap. He's got credibility in the comedy world. He's got credibility in film. It just feels like he's multi-talented. He can go in a thousand different directions. And I feel like he would constantly keep that franchise fresh.
There you have it, folks. Bryan's choices for top five actors, actresses who could build up the next summer movie franchise. Again, let us know what you think about his choices and your choices of the same. We hope that your summer will be a good one and filled with many more hits than it is flops. But until next time, we hope that your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline.